All right, Acts chapter 19, verse number 21. We're going to move fast here. We started this last time, so this could be trampling truth, and we're going to make this part number two, I believe. Trampling truth, part number two. Beginning in verse number 19, it says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." And I'm not going to talk about all things there, but because we've already covered them. But a lot of things were going on, and God wrote, God did some great things, and God, in verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And then you had these people who were these vagabond Jews, and they thought they were going to cast out some demons, and they had this secondhand faith, and they started saying, "We cast you out by Jesus, whom Paul preaches." Well, that's kind of crazy. You can't call up somebody you don't control, and so then the demons jumped on him and beat him up and chased him out of town, torn up and naked, or at least their clothes torn up, crazy stuff. But many believed because they realized what Paul had going on was actually the real thing, and that was good. So the focus was on the right thing. Now, verse number 21, after these things, again, I go back and read verse. I'll read chapter 19, the first 20 verses. It would help sometime. So after these things, verse 21, were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he's still in Ephesus. And the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. And that's what they talked about. That's the name they gave to Christianity. It was that way. People still do that. Well, they're Christians. They're weird. They have their own way of doing things. Well, that's because Christians aren't part of the world. That's because Christians are born again. Christians have the Holy Spirit. And if you're truly believing, I'm not talking about somebody who has religion. I'm not talking about somebody who tries to try to put on the form and look all pious and look all holy and that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone who has humbly come to God, confessed that they're a sinner, headed for a devil's hell, knowing that they need something to save them, and they come to Jesus. They found out that Jesus died and paid for their sins, and they come to Jesus for the salvation of their soul. Plus nothing, minus nothing. They come to him for that. It's going to change who we are. And those things are going to make a difference. But the fact is, when you do that, there's going to be other people who just don't like it. Listen, you don't have to be, we should be nice, but we also need to stand for truth and righteousness. But you don't have to, I'm sinning. You don't need to go through that. Now, I do that here. I talk loud and all this stuff, but that's because I'm preaching, we're doing our thing here. But I'm talking to someone who's unsaved and talking to the world. You don't talk that way. But you've got to give them truth. And when they argue with you, you give them truth. That means you know truth to give them. That means we got to know the Word of God. We got to know where we're going to find it. We got to have the answers. The answers here. We ought to read our Bible enough to know the answers. And by the way, I've said before, sometimes we know just enough Bible to get ourselves in trouble. We listen just enough to claim we know what we're doing. Then somebody actually comes and tries us and starts asking us questions and starts to argue with us, and we're at a loss, and then we look like an idiot. We didn't know the Word of God. Now. And so this is as there was no small stir about that way, this way of Christianity. For a certain man, Demetrius, verse 24, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, that's a goddess, that's an idol, brought no small gain unto the craft. So this guy made these little idols, and he was selling them, and it was making a lot of money. whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. He said, now listen, he had a union meeting. He got the union together and said, you know what? We're losing our way of life. We're gonna lose our vocation. If Paul keeps preaching, nobody's going to buy our idols and we're going to be out of business. Now, they say when Billy Sunday, back at the turn of the century, which by the way, was a baseball player who got saved at the mission in Chicago, Pacific Garden Mission. I should remember that. I preached there one time. I really did. I preached there one time. And he got saved at the Pacific Garden Mission. And he started being a preacher. He was an evangelist. And you know what his big problem was? Alcohol. Well, he got saved from his alcoholism, and they say that he would go into town. He'd preach so hard against alcohol and how much it was hurting people and making them do something that they shouldn't be doing. And by the way, today would be like drugs and other things, that the people would stop going to the bars, and they stopped going to the liquor store, and nobody was buying anything. And they had to close up because they couldn't stay open if no one's going to come and buy anything. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? So that's kind of what's going on here. He says, if Paul keeps preaching, no one's going to buy our idols, and we're going to be out of business. Verse 26, moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this guy, Paul, has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. And they're all saying that the little gods we're making are not really gods. It's just trinkets. So that, verse 47, so not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess of Diana shall be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. He said, if we're not careful, he'll shut down the whole thing, which would probably be a good thing. Verse 28, and when they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into it, the people, the disciples, suffered him not. They wouldn't let him go in. You're going to get yourself in trouble, and they're going to hurt you. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. And some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly. All these people were confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They didn't know why they were even protesting. But hey, got a good protest. I'm in. Kind of like some things that goes on today. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude. So they grabbed a guy named Alexander, and the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Isn't that interesting? Verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude. Watch. The Jews, putting Alexander forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, he was also a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." That's kind of crazy. The Jews were brought him out, and he was going to make his defense. And then they found out he was a Jew, and they cried. The Jews, it looks like the Jews cried against him, but he's a Jew. That's how far they had gone. That's how far they had gone away from God. Sometimes Americans do the same thing. You know, we say we're Christian. And by Christians, we start standing up for things that are not right and somebody's feelings. Now, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings on purpose or for no good reason. And I don't really want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I got to stand for truth. And standing for truth hurts their feelings. I've got to stand for truth, not their feelings. Okay. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess of Diana and the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Now that's what he said. That's not what happened. But that's what they believed happened. That this image fell down from Jupiter and was Diana. Well, it's worship. It came down from heaven. So probably the guy who makes the little idols told that story. And they all heard it on YouTube. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, he ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Whereof, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law's open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another." You can sue them if you want to sue them, but, you know, let's do this right. "But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, this shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this. We can't justify what we're doing here." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you for your word. Again, we ask you to give us your wisdom. And we want to be a blessing these few short moments that we have. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, on your paper, I gave you the answers from last time. Number one, the way always causes stir. Not going to spend a lot of time there. But you talk about Christianity, someone's not going to like it. Christ always divides. For some reason, it always divides. I don't know why it is, but it just does. Letter B, the way is different than all other ways. There's all kinds of the way of the world. They all are working their way to heaven. No matter what it is, it's working its way to heaven. The way of Jesus Christ is by grace through faith. We are sinners, and we're saved by grace through faith, by the mercy of God. We don't deserve any of this. God gives us, and the way of the world, the way of the Lord also is different in that he asks for us to live righteously according to the word of God, which his way of righteousness, his righteousness. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not what we decide is right, but what he decides is right. Now, see, we live in America, and we have misconstrued and we have abused the thought of our rights. Well, I have the right to decide what I have the right to do. Right to free speech. You do. You have the right to bear arms, and you do. We have a lot of rights, but watch. We do not. We have the right to our opinion, but we do not have the right to establish truth. Truth is established by God. Truth is eternal. Truth is transcendent. Truth is truth. We don't have the right to decide, well, I don't think I agree with the part where it says, thou shalt not steal. I think sometimes it's proper to steal. Sometimes I think it was the right thing to do. I think sometimes there's a good reason for us to steal. No, that's not what he said. I think some people say, well, I think we ought to have the right to lie under certain circumstances. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the word of God. That's not truth. I'm not supposed to bear false witness. Listen. Some people say, well, you know, I know I'm not supposed to commit adultery, but you don't know my circumstance. Well, if you were married to my wife, you commit adultery too. Or you were married to my husband, you commit. Listen, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. And we think we have the right to establish truth, but we do not have that right. God establishes truth. The way of God, the way, is different than the rest of the way of the world. Number two, the way of the Lord is not the way of the world. Letter C, Jesus is the way, and wherever Jesus is involved, there will be division. Why? Because we're drawing a line in the sand and saying what God says is right, and the rest of the world is saying, no. That's all kind of optional. I mean, don't you think? I mean, it's probably real nice to live that way, but it's optional. We don't really need to do that. And we said, no, it's not optional. Well, wait a minute, it's not optional. No, it's not optional. Well, you're being very narrow-minded. How can you live like that? I mean, you have no right to tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what God says we're supposed to do. Really? Now, I know some Christians can be kind of snotty about things and they shouldn't be. They can be kind of arrogant about things and they shouldn't be. They can be hypocritical about things and they shouldn't be. Listen, don't hold God accountable for the dumb things that Christian people do. But let's go back to the Word of God and find out what truth is. Find out what truth is. And truth is in this Word of God. So listen, so Jesus always causes division. Letter D, the way is called heresy. Some people actually call what they have established truth in the world, according to truth to the world's definition, that actually it becomes a crowd that believes the world's definition of truth. And when somebody shows up who's a Christian that goes against it, they call them a heretic. How dare you think that way? Don't you know the rest of the world has agreed and we're right? We've got to figure it out. You're the oddball, so you must be wrong. Well, I don't go by me. Go by the book. Now, I should live by the book, but listen, I'm not establishing truth. I'm not claiming to be the man of truth. Jesus Christ is the man of truth. And so we talked about that. There's a passage there where they actually call the way heresy. Number two, we saw the motive. What their problem was? Why were they upset? Because money. Letter B, money talks. They were going to lose money. Number three, we saw the mode of attack. Real quickly here, the mode of attack. How do they attack? By oppression. Letter B, oppression, and letter C, sedition. Sedition means, well, let's just get a big crowd against them. Let's have a big protest. Let's get a whole lot of people. Let's put on pressure. Oppression comes from the same word as pressure. Let's put on pressure to make them do what we want. Let's scare them a little bit. Let's outnumber them till they feel like they have to go along with the world. Listen, stand for the truth. You and Jesus is a majority. If they're on the right, Jesus is the majority. You just get on his side and walk with him and you're on the right side, even if it goes against everybody else in the world. Or at least everybody else in your world. And don't be mean about it. You stand for truth. I've been there. I've had to do that. There was a time when my dad thought everything I'm talking about here was dumb, stupid, craziest thing ever heard of. 15 years later, he didn't think that anymore. A few years later than that, he wanted to make sure that he had it right. And he asked me to run him through all this so he knew he was square. And because he was about ready to die, and he didn't know, he wanted to make sure that he had it square. So we trust in oppression. The world does the same thing. Listen, whether it's politics, whether it's sexuality, or a lot of things that's going on these days, they're going to pressure you and pressure you and pressure you and try to convince you that it's right. Watch. Number four, because it's a majority. Truth is not determined by the majority. Truth is determined by God himself. Now, they will say, well, you just got a book written by men. What good is that? Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to be mean, but to say that shows their ignorance because they don't know that book. Listen, you get in this book, you'll realize that's not a regular book. The way that book was written, the way it fits together and the history behind that book, no other book could have been written like that. It was written over 1,500 years, 1,600 years, depending on how you count it, with over 40 different authors. And most of them didn't know each other because they were written over 1,600 years. And even the ones that were about the same time, they may or may not have known each other. And sometimes they didn't even have access to the other writings. And yet you would think the same person wrote it. That's because the same author is God. Now, when I was a little kid, I used to watch Andy Griffith. And I love the early ones, you know, when Opie was just a little tiny thing. And Andy Griffith was a little bit more of a hayseed at that about that time. And then and about 2 or 3, 4 years into it, they got a new writer. And they're not the same. They got the exact same actors playing the exact same characters. You would think that should cover it. Problem is, different author. Not the same. Now, it seems crazy to compare the Bible to Andy Griffith, but you know what I'm saying here. So, majority, just because everybody in the world says this is true, does not make it true. It doesn't make it true. Watch, if the majority, a lot of society says, well, if majority rules, we must make it look like the majority agrees with us. So we get a big crowd, and we make them loud and proud to try and prove we are right. And the loud minority is not the majority. We say, well, we've got 3,000 people here. I know there's 360 million in the nation. 3,000 is not a big deal. I'm sorry. We are in the middle of June. Not trying to be mean here, which is Pride Month. And they're getting everybody they can to support their cause. They're loud and they're proud. We're queer and we're here. And they're doing everything they can to help us to try to get us to accept it as normal. And folks, I'm sorry, it's not. Well, you're not living in my shoes. No, I'm not. But I grew up with my own demons, if you will. We all did. And again, sometimes because we had bad relationships with our parents or whatever it was when we grew up, or we felt despised by some of the other kids in our class, and you know, we're just humans. I understand that. And we're trying to make sense of it. We're trying to find our niche in things, and well, maybe this is what I am. Well, no, I don't. Well, I'm not sure I'm that. Maybe this is what I am. And the fact is, why don't we just trust what God made you and let everything kind of settle down? And you might be surprised. You're going to come out the other side, and I'm going to use the term, I'm sorry, of your childhood and become an adult, and you may find out you see things differently. Listen, I've seen articles, YouTube videos of girls who were 13, 14, 15, and they were uncomfortable with their body. Well, a lot of stuff's happening during that time. And they're uncomfortable, and they say, "Well, I don't want to do this. Maybe I'm a boy." And they've walked into some clinic, and they said, "I think I'm transgender." And within an hour, they're giving them puberty blockers. I saw some articles where they said they got it within an hour, and they didn't ask them a whole lot of questions. And now they're grown women. I'm sorry, they're still grown women. And they realize, I shouldn't have done what they've done, but now their voice sounds like a boy. Other things are kind of are weird. Some have gone so far where they, and I'm being honest here, have their breasts removed, thinking that'll make them a boy. And now the normal processes have occurred, and they thought, I think I would have rather been a girl. But now if I have a baby, I can't nurse my baby. Some of them have other things done. They can't even have a baby anymore. And now one of the big words is detransition. It's a shame. In fact, some of them are suing the doctors because they said, listen, I was a 16-year-old kid. What did I know? Why didn't you stop me? That's what they're saying. Now, I didn't have this on this. I had this all planned before. This is all part of my message. I didn't know you all were going to be here with me. But I beg you, let yourself grow up as you are. God doesn't make junk. When he made you like you are, he made a good thing. We say, "What?" And the thing was, I'm getting pressure. I'm getting bullied. When I turned seventh grade, 13 years old, and I started to develop. You know what happened to me? This happens to the men. A lot of the men earlier. It didn't happen to my boy. Well, it happened to Pastor Nathan a little bit. My hair got curly. I mean curly. Now, I grew up back in the 70s, and so you didn't have short hair. Everybody had long hair. But long hair that's curly, wow. I had a fro. I could put a pencil in that baby, and it would get lost in there. I'm not trying to, be wrong, but I did. I had a fro. But I was a little white boy back there. You didn't look like that. And so they called me. This one guy said, boy, that's kind of fruity. Well, that caught on. So now it was called fruitcake. Well, that's real nice. Every 13-year-old boy wants to be called a fruitcake. Right? But you know what? I knew that behind all this hair, I was still the same boy I was 3 weeks ago. And you know what? More than that, I had been saved when I was 11, 2 years before. And I knew that in Christ, I was a child of God. He loved me. And he had a plan for me. And he made me the way I am. And that one day I'll be able to do something for him or whatever he wants me to do, it's going to be fine, and this too shall pass. Now, before I was called fruitcake, I need not say more. Because I had more around the waist than I was supposed to have. And you know what the fact is? I had more around the waist than I was supposed to have. I also remember in high school being bullied, if you want to call it, that's what they call it now these days, criticized because I wouldn't do a lot of things the other kids would do because I was a Christian. That's the truth. I forgot one. I'm a Walsh, and Walshers are not sports people. Just the way it is. I mean, you these little fat legs when it goes so fast. You know what I'm talking about. And so I went into music. Well, you know what kind of guys go into music? Now, I'm not. But that's what I was accused of. Now, just because everybody pressures you into something does not make it true. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I remember one guy one day, I was just standing in the hallway minding my own business. And this fellow, I can name, I can see this was yesterday. He walked by, and just as he walked by, I was standing up against the wall, he grabbed my collar, and he literally picked me up. By that time, I actually kind of lost a little bit. I was porky when I was young. He picked me up and pushed me against the wall. And just to be mean, he decided he was going to punch me. Now, this was probably a stupid thing to do, but I said, well, I guess if it'll make you feel more like a man, go ahead. If that's what you got to do to feel like a man, beat up somebody, you know, who everybody knows you can beat up anyway, go ahead. And he let go and he walked away. Yeah. You say, where'd that come from? Personally, I'm not saying God spoke to me, but I felt like that's what I was. That was his problem. He had to prove that he was a man. And so he wasn't going to have any fun doing that anymore. I learned that later, but I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me. Now listen. Number three down underneath letter B. Some folks can make evil sound noble. Understand that? Some people can make evil, wrong, sound noble. Watch this. Letter C. Can man destroy a God? Think about this. He said here, you know, we're not careful. Even the very temple of Diana is going to be brought to nothing. Well, if Diana is so tough, she's a god, what are you worried about? Do you realize, I believe the name was Voltaire. Maybe you could double check me here. He was a great atheist, if you will. And he said, this was years and years ago, he said, I mean, how many, 1800 somewhere, where was it, 1700, when was Voltaire? Somewhere in there. You're supposed to know everything. That's why I hired you. You're supposed to know all those things. Do you know? Do you remember Nathan Sterl? You got one of those brains too, you know. Anyway, he said, in 100 years, no one will even know anything about the Bible or Jesus Christ. After he died, his house was sold, and they made it a printing house that printed the Bible. Truth is eternal. We live in a temporary world. And I'm sorry, I've been here. Honestly, I've been. I know that you don't want to hear an old man like that say this. But the fact is, believe it or not, I still remember being a teenager. Because there's a lot of things as a teenager you do for the first time. There's a lot of times you're faced, confronted with things that you had never been confronted with before. And if you're not careful, you think, I'm the only one in the world that's ever been confronted with these things. Let me assure you, there's nothing new under the sun. It may just come in a different path. The word, but it's the same old thing. We sometimes think, well, the world is a whole lot smarter than it was when you were way back in the dark ages when you were a kid, Pastor. No, it's not. In fact, in some ways, it's dumber. Because it thinks it knows more. At least back when I was, there was still a lot of folks that realized the Bible probably knows. I may not know what's in the Bible, but the Bible is probably true. Now there's folks who think we can get around without it. So they think they can do without it. Listen, somehow they thought that maybe Paul was more powerful than this God that could defeat this Diana. Isn't that a crazy thing? Then how great is this Diana? Number five, if we keep telling ourselves that something is true, we will eventually believe it. They shouted it and shouted it and shouted it and shouted it. And then there was a crowd. Number six, the world can easily be defeated with confusion. We shout it, we shout it, and we shout it. So that doesn't seem right, but everybody seems to believe it, so I guess it's true. And we take it in. Listen. It says the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. They grabbed them all and took them in. Letter B, old Satan loves to keep you off balance. Satan loves to keep you off balance, confused. Letter C, if he can keep us confused, then he can keep us from being a threat. You know what I'm saying? If Satan can keep us off balance, we can't stand on truth because we're not sure whether we're dealing. I mean, not literally staggering, but you know, inside our heart we're staggering. Well, is this true or is it not true? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Well, then we don't have anything to stand on. And so Satan can keep us off balance. Then we're no longer a threat. But wait a minute. If we resist the devil, the Bible says, he will flee from us. And we resist him steadfast in the faith. That's what the Bible says. So having done all to stand, stand. You don't have to fight him. You just have to do right. You know what? Listen, if all the Christians in America would just stand up all at one time and say, we don't want this stuff anymore. You would be surprised how much would have to go out the door. But we don't, because we all want to be nice and not hurt anybody's feelings, so we say nothing, and truth falls in the street. Because we're not willing to stand for truth. Letter D. This is the issue of the denominations where we get off on tangents and bicker over doctrine. Why is the United Methodist Church even thinking about all the stuff that they're thinking about ordaining homosexuals to be pastors? Why are they even thinking about that? Have they never read their Bible? Listen, if Jesus was alive, you know what he would say? Have ye not read? That's what he would say. Why is the Southern Baptist talking about ordaining women to be pastors? Jesus was here, he said, have you not read? But we're so confused about things. We say, well, women are smart. Well, yeah, of course they are. Well, they probably love people as much as you do. Of course they do. That's not the point. I'll tell you what, I've told this in marriage counseling. Sometimes I think God made man the head of the house to make the women learn to live by faith. I don't know. I mean, I'm being facetious here, but I'll tell you what, sometimes I wonder. But that's the way God made it. Letter E, this is the issue with the Bible translations. The KJV was used for all the great revivals and the great awakenings in America and in Europe until the beginning of the 1900s. In 1901, they came out with a revised standard, American Standard Version. In 1881, they came out with a revised version. And yet the world says we need a new Bible. Bibles which do not say the same things are not the same. Well, I don't understand the words in there. Get a dictionary. You read a chemistry book. Do you understand all the words there? Read a physics book. Do you understand all the words there? Try to learn Spanish. Do you understand all the words there yet? Learn a few words. And really, there's not that many that are new. Once you've learned them, you know them. I go on and on about that. Things that claim to be the same but are different will cause confusion. Satan wants to weaken our forces by keeping us in a state of confusion. When I was speaking to Praveen John Giralis, okay, I get it. That was the Indian pastor we had here the other night. He said, they have Hindu writings and they see them as sacred. over in India, and they mock American Christians because they don't know what they believe because they have so many different translations of their holy book that they don't know which one is right. So in all practicality, they don't have the holy writings. That's the way they look at us. I've told you this story before. When my wife and I started dating, be honest with you, I was saved when I was 11. I was saved about all I knew. You wonder why I stand up here and say, we got to know the Bible, got to know the Bible, I got to know the Bible. This is why. I was 21 years old. I didn't know the Bible. I knew I was saved. I could tell you some stories. I could talk about Samson. I could talk about David. I could talk about Gideon. I could talk about Peter, James, and John. I could talk about it, but if I knew any principles of it, I didn't know that. And my wife, you know how she is. Everybody knows. She's a studious person. She's a sponge. She just wants to soak in everything she soaks in. When I sit down and study, 5 minutes, tops. And so I have to really work at it. She just loves this. So she said, well, you've been saved all your life. You're going to church all your life. What's this mean? What's that mean? And I had to learn what we meant. And I thought, I went back to the old King James Bible because that's what I was brought up with. And we started reading this thing. I said, man, it's got a lot of hard words in here. I don't know what this means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what to mean. And being too lazy to use the Strong's Concordance. Now, back then, it wasn't on the computer. It was a book this big by this thick. And the print is about that big. And you want to look up the definitions, you just spend hours and hours doing this stuff. And be honest with you, I was lazy, but we did it because I liked her. And she wanted to know this stuff, so I thought, well, I do too. And so we studied, but called Make It Easy. So I went out to the Christian bookstore, and I bought a thing called a Parallel Interlinear Bible. And it had the King James, the New International, and the manuscripts to the New International. See, they come from different sets of manuscripts, originals. So they can't say the same. They come from something different. And so I started reading this because I thought New International, that should be easy to read. So I read that. And I thought, that's not what I remember being taught when I was a kid. So then I read the King James. I thought, well, that makes sense. I remember being taught that. So then I went over to the original. I thought, oh, my stars. The King James doesn't match the original. But see, that was the wrong original. That was called the critical text, not the received text. This comes from like two or three, four manuscripts total that don't even agree with each other thousands of times. It wasn't the one, the majority text that all match. Well, not match totally, but you can see where they are, and you can see where the typos are and all those kind of things. And so the received text, we have thousands of manuscripts that goes along with that. But I didn't know that. And I looked at the old manuscripts here, and I said, wow. And I studied another passage, and I studied another passage. And I didn't know all the argument. I thought, well, man, is all these things that I learned as a kid wrong? And I will be honest with you. I took that interlinear Bible and I closed it up. And be honest with you, though I kind of walked through things with Miss Janet, I thought, is any of this true? The only thing I could go back to was this. I knew in my heart that I was saved. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. I knew that. I thought, no, I know that I'm saved, but what do I live by? You know what it did? All these translations caused confusion. Why do we stick around with this old King James Bible? Because it was translated from the majority text. Textus Receptus, they're not quite equal, but they're close. The same thing. They were around for all the great awakenings. The Lord has put his blessing on those things. That's right. Why change it? Why change it? I've been talking too much. I still didn't get done tonight. Listen, we need to stand on truth. The world will trample truth. They will argue with you. They will intimidate you. You don't believe that. That's stupid. I'll be honest with you. I don't know, maybe not. But it could be that you don't necessarily make it known that you go to church on Wednesday night. Now, I'm not saying you have to, but it could be possible that you hide it because you don't know what your other friends are going to say. You don't really go to church on Wednesday night. I mean, he sat in there with all his old people. You heard this guy yell for like 50 minutes. Come on, give him one, be real. What do you mean, really? Or do you say, well, I may not know a whole lot, but I know I'm saved. I hope you know you're saved. Hope you know that God loves you with an everlasting love. It goes for all of us in here. He would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Realize that we're heading in the wrong direction. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. Not only eternal life, but he wants to come in your heart and give you wisdom. You say, well, I read that Bible, it doesn't make any sense. Be honest with you, if you will receive Christ and let the Holy Spirit, your teacher, come into your heart and speak to your heart and then yield yourself, say, well, if it's in my Bible, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to obey it. You will be surprised what he will open up to you, and you can be as smart as anybody else. You can know as much Bible as Pastor Nathan does. Nobody can rattle it off like he can. And you know that. But I don't know where he got it. He's my son. He just got started earlier. He's 30 years old. I didn't go to seminary till I was 30 years old. He's already got his master's degree in theology at 30 years old. You're all still young. My goal was for him to start on my shoulders and go that way. With all my kids. I'm proud of all of them. They're serving the Lord. They know where they are and know who they are. And I want you to have the same. That's late. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I hope something I've said has been a help, not a hurt. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want you to think about what we've been going on over here this evening. And I want you to know God loves you with an everlasting love, and so do I. And I want you to know truth. So much I want you to know truth. And God will give you truth, and he will teach you truth, and he will guide you in your life and help you make the right decisions if you'll let him do it. And he may not always send you in the direction that you're looking to go right now. But we've got to follow truth. Don't let the world trample truth. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.